Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Thursday, January 17th. I'm Ray Graff. Joining us this afternoon are Police Chief from Albany, Eric Hawkins, and Saratoga County Sheriff Michael Zerlo. These two law enforcement veterans have decades of experience between the two of them, and they are here to answer your policing questions. Chief Hawkins took over the Albany force last year after serving as chief of police in Southfield, Michigan since 2012. A lifelong Saratoga County resident, Mechanicville High School grad, and former town of Stillwater judge, Michael Zerlo, was elected county sheriff in 2013. If you have a question about law enforcement, now's the time. 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins, Saratoga County Sheriff Michael Zerlo, and your calls coming up on Vox Pop right after the news. Hello once again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Joining us today, Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins and Saratoga County Sheriff Michael Zerlo. They are here to answer your law enforcement and policing questions. Chief Hawkins took over the Albany force last year after serving as chief of police in Southfield, Michigan since 2012. He rose through the ranks of that department, starting as a cadet in 1990. In all, Chief Hawkins has more than 25 years of law enforcement experience. He is affiliated with the International Association of Chiefs of Police, the FBI National Academy Associates, the FBI Law Enforcement Executive Development Association, and the National Organization of Black Law Enforcement Executives. A lifelong Saratoga County resident, Mechanicville High grad, and former town of Stillwater judge, Michael Zerlo was elected county sheriff in 2013. The Saratoga County Sheriff's Office is a full-service law enforcement agency with about 270 members, maybe even more than that now, and an annual budget of roughly $31 million. The agency covers an area of more than 800 square miles, over 20 communities, and 230,000 people. If you have a question about law enforcement, today's a very good day to call. It's 800-348-2551. 1-800-348-2551. Chief Hawkins, Sheriff Zerlo, welcome back to the program.
Glad to be here. Thank
yes.
you.
Thanks, Ray. Thanks for having me.
So you guys have both been on this show, but never together, and it's the first time you've met.
Yes.
Yes.
Hearing you talk shop was very interesting here before we started the show. Chief Hawkins, how are things going for you now? You're learning your way around Albany now.
Learning my way around. I don't need GPS to get around now, and I found some great restaurants, so I'm doing fine.
Good for you. Well, you're keeping the weight off, so good for you.
Thank you.
Sheriff Zerlo, you had some cadets sworn in, I guess, today?
18 graduated from Zone 5 Police Academy yesterday, so I have 18 new deputies that will be hitting the streets after they're in service training for the next couple of months.
And how green are they to begin with?
They're green.
Yeah?
You know, it's 6 months in the academy, a month of field training officer review, and now they'll do 2 more months with somebody in the department, and they'll be hitting the road sometime in April.
Well, that's terrific news. And you also, I think the last time you were on, it might have been 7 or 8 months ago, maybe more than that, you talked about the instituting of a voluntary program for school districts in your area, and that's the school resource officers. Mm-hmm. How's that working out?
It's going great. I have 11 officers assigned to 9 school districts. A couple of the school districts have 2 officers. Interaction with the kids, the parents, administrator, it's been great. A lot of positive feedback, and hopefully, you know, in this next school year, looking to expand it, an additional school resource officer. We'll be starting in February, hopefully with the City of Saratoga Springs School District for their Maple Avenue School, which is located in the town of Greenfield.
How many school districts are there?
11 school districts.
All together in the county?
Correct, yes.
And so how many are on board? 9?
9, yes.
Oh, that's pretty high mm-hmm. rate of compliance there, if you will. Our number here is 800-348-2551. 800-348-2551. If you have a law enforcement question from these two, I'll tell you what, these guys have a lot of years. I was trying to tally it up, 70 years, 65, 70 years of experience between the two of you. So you should be able to answer some questions here. I don't know if either of you caught Governor Cuomo's address to the legislature this week, but it's been all over the news. And the big news is he wants to legalize recreational adult use marijuana first before we get to the intricacies of that and enforcement. Where do you stand on that, Michael Zerlo?
I haven't read his proposal. I didn't see his address the other day. we're just getting to the point now where with our driving while intoxicated laws, we're starting to get a grip on it. I don't know where it's going to take us when we legalize marijuana as a law enforcement. I have 8 canines that work in my department that are trained to sniff out marijuana. They'll continue to do that. We'll continue to abide by the laws. So, again, I think we all need to sit down and formulate a plan before we proceed with this and think thoroughly through what they want to enact.
Chief Hawkins, first of all, your opinion of this move.
Well, I think that it may create some unintended consequences in terms of stress in law enforcement. And, you know, and of course, you know, we as law enforcement professionals, we will enforce the law. And so whatever the law is, you know, we're going to train our officers and get the necessary resources to do that. But I think that we have to, as we're exploring this, like the sheriff said, we need to look at what type of stress this will cause on our law enforcement agencies in terms of extra enforcement for impaired drivers. There's some studies out there that suggest that there's an increase in fatal accidents in states that have this. The associated crimes that are may come with legalization, such as break-ins and robberies around some of the dispensaries and things like that. So we really need to, and I agree 100% with the sheriff on this, and that we really need to be thoughtful and methodical in how we go about this, because we need to, if this happens, make sure that we have the resources and a plan in place for law enforcement to address it.
You mentioned a plan. Is there any state of the art as far as how you would detect an impaired driver without saying, well, okay, yes, you did smoke marijuana 2 days ago. It's still in your system, but you're not impaired now. How does a police officer do that at a roadside stop?
Oh, I have two drug DREs, is what we call them, drug recognition experts that are trained in, you know, to on a stop for somebody to think that was taking prescription drugs or marijuana. I intend on sending two more to school coming up in the next month. I'll have four. But again, we need to think this out, and that's to be determined, you know, before we come up with this plan. I guess that's the way to do it. I mean, that's how I would hope they would do it.
It seems all moving very fast.
It is, and like the chief said, and I think we're in agreement on it, we need to sit down and just take our time and look how this is going to play out.
The number here is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551. Joining us today, Saratoga County Sheriff Michael Zerlo and Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins. And let's grab a call or two before the first break. Robin in Schenectady. Robin, you're on.
Hey.
Hi.
In some countries, it's not a violation when you it's not a traffic infraction, it's not a violation, it's a crime when, say, you run a stop sign and injure somebody. I was badly injured this past summer. The person, I'm going to be as vague as I can, the person got ticketed, they have to take a class, they pay a fine, I went to intensive care, I'm still not okay. When is it going to happen that in this country we realize that cars are the equivalent of a loaded gun? And there are times more often than not, perhaps a reckless driving charge or something like that should be applied.
I think.
What's your thought on that?
I think, is it Robin?
Robin, yes.
You know, Robin, my thoughts and prayers to you as you recover from that accident. And one of the things that we're very cognizant of in law enforcement is that traffic enforcement is very, very important. You know, it's. I'm sure the sheriff has a very robust, you know, traffic enforcement section, and so do I in the Albany Police Department. And I'm committed over the years of even expanding the traffic enforcement division in Albany just for situations like you just described. We have to have our roads safe. And it's not just about enforcement, it's about education. It's about keeping people safe, and so I'm committed to traffic enforcement in our city.
Yeah, the same here, Robin. I have a large traffic safety unit in my county that's out there on a daily basis trying to enforce the laws of the state of New York. So, and like the chief said, I hope you're feeling better. It's something we look at. We do this on a daily basis, and we give it our best effort to try to make sure everybody's abiding to the rules of the road.
What's the toughest intersection, the most dangerous one in Saratoga County?
Routes 9 and 146 in Clifton Park.
Yeah. And so that's a spot where you guys enforce heavily?
Well, we're in that area. We're throughout the county, but I would have to say that's probably the most heavily traveled in the county.
How about you, Chief Hawkins?
I would say citywide, the number one complaint I get, and I've been here a little bit over 4 months, and I've been to a number of community meetings and neighborhood association meetings and such, and by far, the number one complaint I get is traffic enforcement. And so, and I'm seeing it, I'm hearing it citywide, and so I'm committed to making sure that we get these officers out and giving them the equipment and the training to really enforce the traffic laws that we have in the city and in the state.
Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins joins us today, and Saratoga County Sheriff Michael Zerlo. We'll take a quick break here on Vox Pop. 800-348-2551 is our number. 800-348-2551. Back. More calls coming up. Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff with you at 800-348-2551. We talk law enforcement today with Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins and Saratoga County Sheriff Michael Zerlo. And we'll get to the phones in a moment here. This one came in via email from someone named Todd. The subject heading, New York handgun ownership versus NICS. Is it possible to fail the pre-sales FBI NICS background check and still get a New York handgun permit? And that's from Todd. What is NICS, first of all?
It's where they do the background checks, okay. I believe. Yeah, I mean, I think you can. I can't, you know, if you want to call my office tomorrow morning and speak to my girls and my pistol permit bureau, we'll be more happy to answer this question.
Has there been
a
spike in pistol permits?
It's kind of leveled off a little bit. We're up to almost 9 months to have, you know, we're from start to finish. We were down to almost 3 months. Now we're back up to 4 months. So, you know, it's kind of steadied out.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Chief?
Same thing. I'd have to do a little bit more research to give him an answer. But I'd be glad to, just like the sheriff, if he wants to call the department tomorrow, we'll have an answer for him.
All right, fair enough. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Sheriff Michael Zerlo and Chief Eric Hawkins here to answer your questions. And let's go to Louise in Stockport. Hi, Louise. You're on.
Hi. I'm calling with a question about hate crimes.
Okay.
Wait, hang on. Can you hear me?
So far.
I read recently, I believe in the Washington Post, that there's been a 17% increase in the incidence of hate crimes nationwide. So my question for the law enforcement in Albany and Saratoga is what, if anything, they're doing locally to identify and respond to hate crimes, whether they're getting any training for the officers or taking any action like outreach to immigrant and minority communities and
okay.
that sort of thing.
Well, let's start with Sheriff Zerlo. Go ahead.
Yes, Louise. We haven't seen an increase in hate crime in our county. Our officers are trained on how to deal with it. If something does happen, we don't tolerate it. It's taken seriously, and our investigation unit is right on it to try to determine, people that are responsible for it.
Chief Hawkins.
And same as the sheriff. And the only other thing I would add is that, you know, we are reaching out to some of our immigrant and refugee communities, and we have a liaison in my department that works with those communities, so that it's important that if those types of incidents are occurring, that they're reported. And what we found, not just locally but nationwide, is that sometimes there's a reluctance to report some of these hate crimes simply because there's not a relationship with the local law enforcement agencies. And so we're strengthening those relationships so that if those incidents occur, we can react and we can help the victims.
Thank you, Louise, for the call. Our number is 800-348-2551. Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins, how many members of your force speak a second language? The reason I ask, we have the scanner on in the newsroom all the time, and every now and then they'll say there's a language barrier. Do we have an officer who speaks X, Y, or Z? So do you keep sort of a roster of those who carry a second language with them?
We do, and I don't know what the exact number is. If I had to ballpark it, I would say somewhere around 20% to 25%. Speak, but we also have assistance from a language line. We have a contract with language line so that if there is some sort of language barrier on the road, we have 24-hour access to assistance to help us to communicate.
Is that very? It must be a little cumbersome when you're in the field and reacting to events that are happening real time to have to call a number like that, though, right?
It's a little awkward. It is.
How about you, Sheriff Zerlo?
We have the same thing as the chief with the language line. We utilize that also. I have some deputies that speak different languages, too. Percentage-wise, I couldn't tell you, but we have access to interpreters through Skidmore College in the county if we need be.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. It's Vox Pop, and we go to Deborah in Kerhonkson. Hi, Deborah, you're on.
Thank you. I know the investigation is still ongoing, but I wondered if either the chief or the sheriff had any impressions of that terrible limo accident in Schoharie County and what they might have done to prevent it, or what they might look at to prevent something similar from happening in the future.
Yeah. I'm not privy to the whole investigation. I know it's still ongoing between the state police and the federal government, the Schoharie County DA. First and foremost, my thoughts and prayers with the families and the people's lives that were lost in that accident. But other than that, I'm not privy to any other information, what's going on with the accident, and just my thoughts and prayers with everybody involved.
Same with me. And I think that we have to be very vigilant in terms of whatever enforcement we can at the local law enforcement level with commercial vehicles and regulations, and making sure that they're properly licensed, and if they're not, that we're connected with and we're working with whatever the agencies or organizations are that license and regulate these folks. Terrible accident, and again, my thoughts and prayers also to the families.
Deborah, thanks for the call. It's Vox Pop on WAMC. The number's 800-348-2551. We talk law enforcement with Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins and Saratoga County Sheriff Michael Zerlo, and the person who's next is Bob in Broad Albany. Bob, you're on.
Here, listen.
Hey, hello.
Hey, thanks. Yes, thanks for taking my call.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Yo, you bet. Yep, sure. Yep. Go ahead.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are we still on?
Oh, yeah, so far.
Okay, yeah. I'm calling in reference to my ex-son-in-law just received his third DWI in the last 10 years. The previous two, we had very, very much difficulty finding out when he was going to be appearing in court so we could show up and express our concern about behavior he was expressing. This most recent one, we've been trying to reach out. He got the ticket in Mayfield from the state police. How do we find out when he is going to appear in court?
All right. I think that you should communicate with your son all of the information regarding his court hearings and arraignments and anything associated with that will go through your son, and that would be your best source, because other than that,
it's my ex-son-in-law, you know.
Do you have conversations with him at all?
No, I haven't spoken to him in 8 years.
Okay, well, I think that these guys can't help you with that one. I mean,
I would try to reach out to the state police in Mayfield, and maybe they may be able to help you out.
Okay, yep. Bob, sorry about that. And our number is 800-348-2551. We have Saratoga County Sheriff Michael Zerlo here and Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins. And let's see. Oh, okay. Patrick and Troy. Patrick, you're on.
Hello. Kind of following up on that, I heard recently on the only radio station I ever listened to, an attorney, a law office, that claims to represent clients charged with crimes and DWIs. And it seemed like a kind of a not-so-subtle distinction between, between crimes and DWIs, as in DWI really isn't a crime. What do you think? What do you make of that?
I probably need some more information in regards to, you know.
Well, I can't mention any names, obviously.
No, I know that. I mean, DWI is it's a crime. You're committing a crime, so I don't know the distinction they're trying to say.
I think so. I think it's a cultural, you know, misleading.
Was that an advertisement, anyway, Patrick? Was that an advertisement by any chance?
Yes.
Okay, well then you, first of all, how'd you find out about this show if that was the only station you ever listened to?
Well, it was on this station. When I say advertisement, it was a sponsor. It was on WAMC. It was only a day or two.
Oh, it was an underwriter. I see. Okay, well, that's a new one on me, man.
I don't know.
Well, that's an interesting point, and we appreciate the call. 800-348-2551 is the number, and let's go to Barry. Barry, where are you calling from?
Hey, how you doing, sir? I'm calling from Florida, New York.
All right, you're on the air.
All right, I just wanted to say I understand the need for law enforcement and the need to control roads and, you know, have not people driving out of control and causing people to be hurt and stuff like that, but I just feel like, you know, when the police push for a lot of that, I feel like it's like a revenue grab, you know what I mean? Let me give an example of what I mean. My parents are very pro police, pro big government, everything like that. They live up in Schenectady, and like 10 years ago, Mario Cuomo sent 2 state troopers dedicated to Schenectady to help clean up the problem up there, meaning like Hamilton Hill. My parents say, soon afterward, and they're very pro-police, they were like, no, all these SOB troopers do is send an 890 and give regular people tickets. They don't do anything cleaning up the real crime, you know? So I just feel like it's just all a big grab on revenue,
okay.
You know?
All right, well, let's let our chiefs and our sheriffs answer that question. Is it all a revenue grab?
No, I think it's about protecting the other drivers on the roadway. You know, we're enforcing the laws of the road to make sure the roads are safe for everybody that's traveling on them.
Do you have quotas, Chief?
No, I understand.
Do you have ticket quotas?
No, we don't have quotas at all. And I just would like to add also that, again, as I said earlier in the program, by far.
Did they ever see a day and age where there was quotas?
I'm not aware of, in my department.
No.
Yeah.
No. Wow. No, haven't had them. But and last thing, Barry, that I would like to add here is that, just to reiterate something I said earlier, is that as I've been canvassing our city and as I've been looking at statistics for calls for service, by far, the number one call for service that we have are traffic-related complaints. And so when you see officers out there regulating traffic and doing traffic enforcement, that is in response, in most cases, to calls and concerns from our communities, and we're just being responsive.
Right.
This, the same here, Barry, you know, in Saratoga County. I get email after email every day about different areas of the county, you know, as the chief said, for traffic enforcement, whether it's speeding, running stop signs, et cetera, et cetera. So it's not about – it's about, again, trying to keep the roadway safe so everybody can, you know, travel safely.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. We talk law enforcement today with Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins and Saratoga County Sheriff Michael Zirlo. And now it's Aaron's turn. Aaron in Albany, you're on.
Yes, my question is, what the officer's opinions on lane splitting for a motorcycle is. I know New York doesn't allow it, and I'm just trying to see why and whether or not they agree or disagree with it.
I'm not familiar with it, so if you can expand a little bit.
Lane splitting.
Lane splitting is like when the Northway is backed up and it's basically standstill traffic as a motorcycle. You are able to go in between the vehicles.
Well, that can't be legal,
like,
can
California
it?
California allows it.
Really?
California does it. Florida does it. Texas. There's a majority of states, but New York is one of the ones that doesn't.
So weaving in and out of park traffic, basically, is what we're saying here?
Well, you're not weaving. You basically are just splitting between the lanes. You're not weaving. You have to maintain the proper control of your bike.
Okay.
But it is literally, you know, you are actually splitting between the two lanes.
You know, I think that it adds to the instability on our roads. And last thing we need, especially with a lot of the things we see on our roadways with distracted driving and DWIs and speeding and some of the other things, are adding to the instability. And so personally, I think it would do that, and I would not be in favor of that.
Same here.
Okay. Aaron, thanks for the call. Boy, I would hate to see that closer to New York City, Sawmill Parkway or something. No. That could get ugly very, very
Absolutely.
Quickly. All right. But, you know, if it's fine in some states, all right, so be it. Kate on the Taconic. Kate, you're on. Are you on the Taconic or in Taconic?
In the town of West Taconic.
Hello, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Thank you. I just want to inquire what your departments are doing as far as education as to bullying. It seems to be quite a topic around here. And what is law enforcement's response, especially in the day of social media?
All right. Well, that's a fair question. Yeah. Chief, you want to go first?
Sure. We recognized that this was a problem, and it was an emerging problem many, many years ago in law enforcement. And back in my old department, we had some initiatives where we'd work. We have our school resource officers working in our schools at all levels with our children to let them know what the repercussions were, what impact this had on children, both the bullies and the ones who were being bullied. And as I got here in Albany, I was pleased to see that there was a program that was very, very similar and just as robust dealing with that. And so I'm very, very satisfied with what we're doing with working with our children in our community and letting them know what this bullying concept is and how it hurts our young men and women.
And Sheriff Zerlo.
Yes, great question, Kate. I'll echo what the chief just said. You know, what our school resource officers the program we've just established in our schools throughout Saratoga County on a daily basis, they're educating the students inside each of these schools. That was part of this program when we initiated it, to get in there and talk about bullying, social media, a level of other discussion. So on a daily basis, it's being addressed in the schools throughout Saratoga County.
As you have now begun the school resource officers in Saratoga County, is the bullying, are kids behaving better?
They are. The biggest thing is being able to interact with law enforcement, mm-hmm. going up to a deputy inside the school and, you know, confiding in that person if they're having a problem at home. And it's been a tremendous asset, you know, for our department and for the schools throughout Saratoga County.
How are the officers enjoying it?
They're having a great time, again, interacting with the administrators and also keeping the school a safe environment. And they're out doing stuff, after school activities with the kids in a lot of the school districts.
All right. You know, I mistakenly dispatched Kate in Taconic. And let's go back quickly to Kate. Sorry about that. I hit the wrong button. You're on again.
Thank you. One concern is social media and how that is used within schools and outside the school environment for bullying. It's a much different environment for students now. What do you have any thoughts on that?
I agree with you. It starts in the home, you know, with the parents, knowing what their kids are doing on social media. We try to monitor it as a police department in our county. And again, like I said, you know, with our school resource officers being in the school on a daily basis, they're also trying to monitor if there's any issues with bullying.
And it's about letting these our children know that what's on social media right now, whatever it's posted, could have some long-lasting impact on their lives, and it could lead to a lot of different things, a lot of negative things in their lives, and so we educate our children about that. And like the sheriff said, it's also about educating our parents on how they can monitor some of these activities with their children and what they can do if they suspect something is not right.
Our number here is 800-348-2551. Kate, thanks for the call. We appreciate it. Let's go now over to Ken in Rosendale. Ken, you're on.
Yes, I got a comment and a question. The comment is related to the quotas for state police. I think it's funny, or not funny, but I wouldn't expect the police to say, yes, there is a quota. Even if it's a known entity or an accepted entity, I wouldn't expect them to say there is, because I know somebody who's a two-time New York State Trooper of the Year, and both of those awards were almost directly connected to the amount of tickets he wrote.
Well, just to be fair, neither of these guys are state police, so just so you know the answer to that. We have a sheriff here, and we have a police chief from Albany.
Do they have any thoughts on the militarization of our local police force? It used to seem to me that the police force was to protect and serve, and there was a lot of community involvement. But now, with the Department of Homeland Security and budgeting, there seems to be a real militarization of our local police forces.
We interact with our community on a daily basis throughout Saratoga County, and our goal is to protect and serve. I mean, we get communities events up in our county where we're out interacting with the community. So,
all right. And Chief Hawkins.
And there is this misperception that we're trying to militarize, so to speak, our local law enforcement agencies, and that's not the case. And so what's important and what we've been doing around the city of Albany is making sure that we're educating our people, we're sharing information. If we acquire a piece of equipment that may not be understood by our community as to why we have it, then we have some discussions about it so that they can see how this piece of equipment saves our residents' lives and helps our officers be more safe when they're engaging in certain activities.
Give us an example of a piece of gear that would fit that description.
Well, we've got, what's commonly what our public would look at and would characterize as an armored vehicle. And we call it a Bearcat.
And what would you use it for?
And we use that for barricaded gunman type situations. Or if we have a situation where the officers are exposed to active shooters and things like that. And so it allows officers to get a little closer to the action without exposing themselves and exposing other folks. If we have a situation where we have to rescue a person that's involved in a high-risk situation, we can get a little bit closer and we can get that person out and get that person away with lower risk.
Sheriff Zerlo.
The same. We have a special ops vehicle, a Bearcat, utilizes as the same functions that they do here in the city of Albany. Keep our people safe as they're entering a situation and try to resolve it.
Used often?
Quite a bit.
Yeah? How about you, Chief?
Sure.
Yeah?
Yep.
And who's trained to do that?
I have a team of members that are trained, a 15-member team that's trained to operate.
Same here. Yeah.
Are these Army surplus or are these bought new? In other words, were these left over from, say, Gulf War I or II?
Ours was left over.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
And ours was bought new.
Okay. The number here is 800-348-2551. Saratoga County Sheriff Michael Zerlo is here to answer your questions, as is Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins. We'll be back. The home stretch is straight ahead. Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff with you at 800-348-2551. Sheriff Zerlo is here from Saratoga County and Chief Hawkins from the city of Albany, and a couple of emails, and then we will blast through as many calls as we can right up to the end of the program. This one's from Mark. We are always hearing about unarmed people killed by police. When police draw their weapons on somebody who does not have a gun, like a person who's running away or somebody who just has a knife or a stick, why do they shoot to kill? Why not just shoot the suspect in the leg or something? Why kill the suspect? That's from Mark.
Well, we train our officers, number one, our weapons and the use of weapons are a last resort. It is considered lethal force, and only under very, very narrow circumstances shall those weapons be used. And some of those circumstances are if the officer feels that his or her life is in danger, or someone else's life is in danger, or if there's an immediacy to take someone into custody that may go out and hurt somebody else immediately, then that can be used. And so with that in mind, if an officer has to use a gun and it's a last resort and it's a justified use of that weapon, that our officers are trained to incapacitate individuals, stop the threat. And so, some may say that we're just using semantics and it's the same thing as shoot to kill, but that's not what we train our officers to do. We train our officers to stop the threat. And the best way to stop the threat is to fire and aim for, in most cases, most law enforcement agencies across the country are trained to shoot center mass. But again,
the torso.
Correct. Mm-hmm. And again, that is a last resort, and it's only when it is justified to do so.
I agree. Stop the threat. That's how our officers are trained. And if they need to stop that threat, they're, it's a split second decision that they're out there. And it's center torso if they have to do
it. Now, what about non-lethal means of incapacitation? Now, thankfully, I've never had to see a taser, but I imagine they bring somebody down pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm.
Do you use those standard in Saratoga County?
We do. Our officers have them. They're trained in using them. And it's a decision that each officer is going to have to make when they're encountering a situation.
And we have them as well. And they're an intermediate sort of weapon, a less than lethal sort of weapon and device.
All right. Our number here is 800-348-2551, and we will get right back to the calls. Second and last email here, and then we will jump back to the phones. This one says, question for the chief. District Attorney David Soares announced a policy change that effective December 1st of last year, the Office of the Albany County District Attorney will no longer be prosecuting simple marijuana possession cases. It also says that Sheriff Apple is on board. How does this affect the way APD does their job? And that's from Chris.
And we've trained our officers in the aftermath of this decision to go about their jobs just as they were before. They still have the same sort of discretion in terms of whether or not they file charges against the person that had a small level amount of marijuana or not. So they still maintain that discretion. But what we don't want our officers just simply discarding or tossing out small amounts of marijuana just because they may feel that there may not be subsequent prosecution. So bottom line is we're still operating as we have before.
Has there been any resistance in your force since that policy change has been announced?
No resistance whatsoever because they're still operating pretty much status quo. They still, again, maintain the same discretion that they had before. If they happen to come across a small amount of marijuana, a level that's below what the district attorney would prosecute, then they're being trained to still confiscate that marijuana, place that marijuana into evidence, and proceed as usual.
All right, let's go back to the phones. David in Albany. David, you're on.
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
I have a specific question for the chief of police from Albany.
All right.
Just this past week on Monday, my street was closed in the South End. From a pretty extensive operation, I guess, for lack of a better word. There was a canine dog out, and there was someone with a pretty aggressive-looking weapon, an officer with a pretty aggressive-looking weapon, and about eight other officers looking, seemed like, for somebody. We didn't really get any information about what was going on or what happened afterwards, and it left a lot of people feeling worried and upset. Can you comment about that specifically or even generally about how information like that, you know, is shared with our community? I live in the South End in the Mansion neighborhood.
You know, David, just the second part of your question, just repeat that for me. I missed that part of it.
Sure. And I was just, the question was, could you comment anything about specifically about what was going on Monday? And then also generally about how, you know, my community, my neighborhood could get information about something like that in the future.
Sure. That was a situation where we had a person who was wanted for a felony level crime. And we had some information that person was in the area, and we needed to have the appropriate resources out there to make sure that these officers could safely take that person into custody. And so, but in terms of notification, in the immediate aftermath of those incidents like that, sometimes it's difficult to get information out right away because it's so fluid, and a lot of times we don't have all of the information, and we don't want to put out incorrect information. So a lot of times we may send something out on our Twitter account or Nexo one of our other means of social media to communicate with our residents that something is happening. Stay out of the area. If we can give a time frame for how long this may last, we may do that. But in the immediate aftermath, sometimes it's very, very difficult to give out specific information.
Has social media changed the game as far as communicating, Sheriff?
Oh, absolutely. We have two Facebook accounts, a Twitter account. It's about, you know, getting the word out, as the chief said, if something's happening in our county, road closure, weather-related, active fire scene or whatever. And it's about keeping the public informed if something's going on, being transparent.
The number here is 800-348-2551. Glenn in Glenmont, you're on.
Hello. Right next to a pickup truck. It's kind of noisy. I have a question. It should be a quick one. So I had gotten a ticket on my sedan for having rear windows that were tinted too dark. And when I looked into the laws about it, because I had been unfamiliar with it, and it was just how I bought the car, I found that you can have your windows on an SUV tinted as darkly as they come, but that not so on a sedan. And I was just wondering if there was an explanation for why.
I don't. This is something I could research. If you want to reach out to me tomorrow morning, shoot me an email, and I'll definitely have an answer for you.
What is your email address, Sheriff Zerlo?
mzerlo@saratogacountyny.gov.
You better spell Zerlo.
Z-U-R-L-O.
All right, fair enough. Glenn, good luck with that. Our number is 800-348-2551. Mary in Orange County. Hello, Mary.
Hello.
You're on.
My question is, you know, I drive quite frequently in the local area and then down to New York City and maybe to Florida and so forth. Why is it that there's nobody around when somebody's passing on a double yellow line? You don't want to call 911, but you want to stop those people from disobeying the law. It's like nobody pays attention to what the driving laws are.
I would think that would not be a worthy cause to call 911. Am I wrong on that?
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct. But
that's what I figured too. But it happens so frequently, even in this local Orange County area. You're doing the speed limit, and somebody wants to do 90, and they're going to pass you. You know, and it's just horrible. And I don't know what the answer is, and I'm hoping that maybe you could give some insight.
If you see somebody driving recklessly, passing on a double line, if you could obtain a plate number, then they call the non-emergency number to, say, our county, our local sheriff's department, we'd be more than happy to look into it.
But wait, now, okay, and I will hear this on the scanner from time to time. Once that person has passed Marion Orange County, that person is no longer breaking the law. How does then Sheriff Zerloak pull up and say, "Wow, we heard uncorroborated report that you passed somebody"?
If we can get the information, you know, that somebody was driving recklessly, we can pass it on to the next police agency heading
gotcha.
To the direction the car is going. So, to let them know that there's a reckless driver coming.
And does that annoy you guys to get calls like that all the time?
sure it does. But you know, my advice would be if she sees that, or any other motorist sees that, like the sheriff said, report it to the whatever the local jurisdiction is, because we track those.
Mm-hmm.
And we may not catch that person, but at least if we get enough complaints in a certain area, we can redirect our resources to that particular area.
Makes sense.
That's great. Yep.
Number here is 800-348-2551. Saratoga County Sheriff Michael Zerloak and Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins joining us today as we discuss law enforcement issues on Vox Pop. Bob in Northville. Bob, you're on.
Thank you. In response to a questioner who mentioned that a previous relative received a driving while intoxicated ticket for the third time,
yeah,
that becomes a DUI second. And by the way, any court clerk in the jurisdiction where that ticket occurred, where he was stopped, will give the information out as to a docket scheduled date. In addition, this is not a FOIL request issue with the courts. A request can be made of the courts for the actual citation of the complaint citing the individual, and the judge, generally speaking, will release that information also.
Hey, Bob, thank you for that. We appreciate it. Our number is 800-348-2551. David in Rensselaerville. David.
Yes, Ray. I have a question about whether I will need a license to drive an electric-assisted bicycle.
Huh. I see them around every now and again here in Albany when I'm outside. You know, a powered bike. You know, it's got a little battery on it. Sure.
Great question.
That's a state issue? Is that a state issue or is that a local municipality
issue?
No,
it's a state issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's where you'd have to look, I would be afraid.
Yeah.
All I know is if they're on the sidewalk, it irritates me. But that's another story. So I guess you should check in with the state.
Should I go ahead and buy one? Will I be arrested for driving one?
I'd probably research it before you went out and bought one. Again, if you want to send me an email tomorrow, I will research it for you.
All right, David. Thanks for the call. And we go to Anne Marie in Albany. Anne Marie.
Hello. Thanks. I have two questions. One is something I've always wondered about. What's the difference between a sheriff and a police department? We seem to have both in Albany. And secondly, do you have any thoughts, if you'd like to answer, on whether or not it's really necessary for us to have a Colony Police, a Gilderland Police, a Bethlehem Police, and why all of that isn't done at the county level? Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Anne Marie.
For a sheriff, I'm the chief law enforcement officer for the county. I have other police departments inside the county as the consolidation at this point. You know, I have enough to do in our county with my department.
Mm.
In general, most municipalities, if they have the means to do it, they like having their own police departments. Mm-hmm. In the police departments, the officers who work in those municipalities only have authority, law enforcement authority, within the municipality in which they work, whereas sheriff deputies have jurisdiction throughout the entire county in which they work.
And the state police have the entire state. Are there battles? In other words, is there headbutting when the sheriffs say, hey, we got an investigation going here. It's right in the middle of Albany. Do some of your investigators say, well, hold the phone. This is our territory?
Never have that sort of conflict.
Never
have the sort of conflict. There's an understanding, and we understand, you know, our roles and our responsibilities, and never happens.
Yeah, same here. I've got a great working relationship with the other police agencies in Saratoga County.
And with the state police?
Yep, absolutely.
Yep. Our number here is 800-348-2551. Michael Zerlo is here. He is the sheriff of Saratoga County. And Eric Hawkins, Albany police chief. And now it's Sharon in Warwick, Massachusetts. Sharon.
Hi. I just want to thank you guys for all you do every day. I greatly appreciate it.
Thank you, Sharon. Welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I live in an extremely small town in West Massachusetts. And I got into a fender bender the other day with some sovereign citizens. Didn't know what they were. Felt pretty dumb after the conversation, but they really had, it takes a lot to rattle me up, but they really had me shaken up. And when the local police were called, they really didn't know what to do with them. And because they hadn't dealt with anything like that before. So they got the state police involved who had dealt with them before, and they consider them terrorists. So is this something that you guys encounter, and are these guys just plain nuts?
I haven't seen it in our county, Sharon, so it's can't comment on that.
And we see it we see it occasionally.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
We see it occasionally around Albany. I saw it quite a bit when I was out in Michigan, and it's about, you know, educating the officers on what their position is in terms of how they perceive the federal government and what authority the government has over them. And once the officers are educated on that piece of it, it makes the interaction with those groups a lot safer, and it allows us to still, continue with our mission and when we encounter them.
All right, let's quickly go over to Patrick in Sullivan County. Patrick, you're on.
Hi again. Thank you for your service. Do a lot of driving on the road. What are the state laws for snow on top of a vehicle once it gets to 2, 3, 4 inches where it comes off and can shattered windshields?
That's a pet peeve, yeah. Man. Yeah.
Same with law enforcement. It's a safety hazard. I would hope that the operator of the vehicle before they went out would remove the snow from the top of the car, and I'm not sure if there's a law stating such.
No. Okay. Well, thanks for that.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot for the call. All right. We only have about 30 or 40 seconds here, but let's take another one real quickly here. David's been waiting a while. Dave in Waterville. Dave, you're on.
Yeah. Hi. Thanks. Quick question. I'd be curious to hear what your two guests have to say about the so-called good guy with a gun scenario where a citizen legally carrying a gun, legal gun, legally registered, licensed, and so forth.
Yeah.
Uses it in a situation that would,
okay,
in my opinion, normally be reserved for law enforcement.
We're almost out of time here, so why don't we go ahead with Chief first, Chief Hawkins?
If the weapon is legally owned and legally registered, and the person is responsibly carrying that weapon, then I don't have a problem with the person under those conditions.
I don't either. Not at all.
Dave, we're pretty much out of time here. In fact, we're definitely out of time here. But thank you for calling, and thanks to Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins. Good job. We'll see you next time.
Well, thank you so much.
Saratoga County Sheriff Michael Zerlo.
We'll see you
next time as well, and we'll have to do this more often. Thanks, guys. Support comes from Curtis Lumber, announcing their new kitchen showrooms featuring kitchen design trends and cabinets from Wellborn and Merlot and Quartz countertops from Cambria. CurtisLumber.com. Vision XL Eye Care, Lake Katrine, exams, eye care, dry eye therapy, and now new American-made frames where eyewear is an art, visionxleyecare.com. Hadley Garden Center, Hadley, Massachusetts, locally owned and operated for over 50 years with indoor and outdoor plants, gardening supplies, bird feeders and seeds, organic fertilizer and advice, hadleygardencenter.com. And Colby Attorney Service, corporate formations, document retrieval services, court filings, and legal publishing for the legal and professional community since 1939, ColbyService.com. Thanks again to Albany Police Chief Eric Hawkins and Saratoga County Sheriff Michael Zerlo for being here today. Thank you for listening. terrific calls, as always. Thanks to our sterling engineer, Zach Malloy. Dina Salzman took the calls. Our producer is Jim Lavoulis. I'm Ray Graff. Tomorrow, Chef Jasper Alexander of Hattie's will be here to share some Southern cooking tips. We're getting a good high sign from Zach the engineer. Cool your jet, Zach. That's tomorrow at 2:00.